This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Congratulations to Ricky, won the Padres tickets, our last pair. Again, if you want to buy single game tickets, tomorrow's your last day to do so before the holidays, and then they won't go on sale again until I believe sometime next year. So go to Padres.com/holiday for details. We will have another chance to win though for a biggest fan coming up at 8:30. We call out a name at 8:30 each morning, and if you are the biggest fan, you will be put into our drawing for a two-night stay at a Waterview studio at Mission Bay Resort with a $100 activity credit from Action Sports, dinner for two at Covewood. You just have to call us back within 10 minutes if you hear your name called. So keep listening, 833-288-0973. Just mentioned the bit of Padres news that broke this morning via Dennis Lynn and The Athletic. The Padres hiring Francisco Cervelli as their new catching instructor. So he joins Bob Melvin's staff. That makes, what, four coaches now that we know of officially? Ruben Niebla.
Yep.
Mike Berdar.
Matt or Mike? Is it Mike?
I can't even say his last name yet, so don't hold me to anything on Berdar. Ben Fritz coming back as the bullpen coach, and now Francisco Cervelli as catching instructor. Still need a first base coach, a third base coach, and a bench coach.
I'll do it.
Would you?
Any one of those.
Which one would you prefer?
Third.
You want to be out there?
Yeah.
Swinging your arms wildly?
Yeah.
Oh, too much pressure. Give me first base.
No, but first base, you got to do all the stupid pickoff moves and
the stopwatch.
I have no interest in that.
Ultimately, if a guy gets picked off, that's on the base run.
Pretty much.
If you send Eric Hosmer and he gets thrown out by 25 feet, that's on you.
You got to be able to dodge the ball, though, if it gets past the first base.
Well, I mean, you guys know in the big leagues, and Brett Boone told me this, and I asked Brett Boone one time, I said, hey, man, in the bigs, how many guys are on their own? He goes, 98% of players literally on their own. Like, he goes, Albert Pujols is on his own. He's on his own.
He doesn't have the stop sign.
No, he can go if he sees fit, he can go.
Occasionally, guys will get a steal sign. Like, we want you to go here.
Yes, correct.
For strategic purposes.
Absolutely. But he said, and that blew my mind a little bit. Because, you know, I think that's the only level where guys are, hey, man, you made it to the big leagues. Clearly, you know what you're doing. You're on your own. You get thrown out, it's on you. Have a ball.
Yeah, you get thrown out 7 out of 10 times. All of a sudden, you're in the 2%. It's like, no, you can't go anymore.
There are guys that they will say, do not run. Do not run until I tell you to run. But it's very small. It's very, very small in the big leagues, which is interesting. So, yeah, maybe first base would be the easier gig.
You got to do all the signals at third, though.
At third is the signals, and I think I would.
You have to be careful not to accidentally give a signal as well. Fidgeting with your hands all the time.
Yep.
But anyway, I was looking at the background of Francisco Cervelli, Yankees, Pirates, Braves, Marlins in his last year. No crossover, at least that I can see, with Bob Melvin. A bit of a maybe surprising hire. No Texas Rangers ties, as far as I know. A little out of the box, but
I like it.
You liked it. So.
I do like it a lot. Like I said, fiery guy. You know, all of the bits. I've already seen people saying, "Man, the guy only threw out 23% of runners. League average is 30. How's he going to teach guys how to throw?" Like, it's not. You don't have to have bet. You don't need Yadier Molina to be your catching coach. You can coach people. Like, there are golf coaches that aren't that great of golfers, but they know how to coach.
Right. Maybe his arm's just not as strong as some of the guys he's coaching.
Yeah, dude. I mean, and again, like, I can coach people up on stuff that I'm not that great at, you know? And so maybe, hopefully, you know, they see something in him.
Every radio consultant is a failed radio host.
Are they? I don't even think half of them were on the air. Yeah, seriously. But no, I like the move just because I just remember his personality, Benny. He's I say this in the nicest way. He's a bit of a psycho. Like, he's got the crazy eyes. Like, he's kind of what you want.
You need one of those guys in your dugout.
You need one of those guys in your dugout. You don't push that dude around ever.
One other Padres catching rumor before we get to the Rindle report. I don't remember who reported this yesterday, But the Padres were said to have interest in Jorge Alfaro,
yes.
Which, you know, obviously not a huge name. Defensively, very strong catcher. Padres already have catchers on the roster at the moment. Now, they've got Austin Nola.
Yes.
And they have one of their top prospects, of course, is a catcher as well.
Luis Camposano.
Yeah.
They've got Caratini.
Caratini is a free agent, right? Or is he back for, is he definitely, I think he's a free agent.
Is he?
So they'd have to bring him back, but he's Yu Darvish's personal catcher. So how much pressure is there coming from, you know, the Darvish camp to bring Caratini back? Otherwise, he'd have to get used to an entirely new catcher.
That's asking a lot, if you think about it. I mean, he didn't really bring a whole lot to the table. Like,
he had a good first month, and then
necessity because he just didn't have anybody. But if you have a catcher, like, you're really giving a full roster spot to somebody that's
one,
just a starting pitcher's favorite guy?
Yeah, we're going to have to get over that U. Sorry.
I think so, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like U was aces down the stretch either. I know he's banged up. You know, I know that he gutted it out. That's not a shot at U at all.
No.
But, like, you know, you got to do what's best for the team at this point. And, look, the interesting thing about the Alfaro deal is how to get him. And the rumor, just a rumor that's floated around, is that it'd be a trade. And in that trade would be one Eric Hosmer to the Marlins and cash and prospects to get back Jorge Alfaro.
The Marlins are a destination we've at least speculated on.
Yes.
As somewhere that might be an interesting place for Eric Hosmer.
But I don't know if you know this, but he's a big fan of the Miami, the 305 area. So
correct.
Natural fit.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. It's just a smoke right now. That's not much to go on, but we did get that report yesterday, and of course, the Marlins did pick up a catcher, which makes Alfaro more expendable.
And the Cubs just picked up a catcher. They have just signed Yan Gomes to a 2-year, $13 million deal. Congrats to Yan and his family and the Cubs organization. Everyone's doing something. Hello! Hello!
That was me this morning to AJ Preller outside of
Hello?
His house.
Hello! Hey, anybody in there? What are we doing? What if somebody like saw him right now just having breakfast reading the newspaper at like Honey's and Encinitas? Would they lose their minds? Like, hey, what are you doing? What's going on?
Hello?
He's always on his phone.
I know he is.
I never not see him
you
on his
phone.
You know
that guy's got 1,000 plates spinning right now. 1,000. Just texts and calls. Should I text him right now and tell him good job on surveilling?
I worry about him if there's a lockout. I really do.
Hello?
Don't you? I worry about him a little bit.
What does he do?
Hello?
He can come sit here with us every day if he wants to, just to spend the time.
Can you imagine just co-hosting with Ben and Woods? Oh, that'd be so good.
Probably, hello?
There's probably rules against it.
Co-hosting with Ben and Woods during the lockout?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
You probably can't talk about stuff, right?
Well, I mean, there's tampering. Yeah, he's got to be careful with some of the comments, I'd imagine. All right, let's get to today's Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Here's a weird story. The headline is, woman claims she's married to Michael Jackson's ghost.
It's the Rindle Report.
Excuse me.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Guys, it's happening.
What? Our pal, the bone of my sword, says Caratini has one more year, then Arb. Then free agent.
Oh, okay.
So he's here.
He's still here.
We got a lot of.
I don't know why I thought he was a free agent.
I don't either.
Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
It's the Rindle Report presented by the San Diego Sockers. Home opener coming up on December 19th. Go to sdsockers.com. We will start off in the world of golf. Tiger Woods. He met with the media today, but he also did a more of a sit down interview with Golf Digest yesterday, talking about his future, talking about how the rehab has gone since his really scary car accident back in February. I got some audio here. He kind of just talks about how, you know, he knows he's not going to be the same player ever again. But what will that look like?
This time around, I don't think I'll have the body to climb Mount Everest, and that's okay.
But I can't participate in the game of golf. I can still maybe, if my leg gets good enough, maybe click off a tournament here or there. But as far as climbing the mountain, get all the way to the top, I don't think that's a realistic expectation of me.
So you're not going to see him competing every week. If he does, in fact, come back, he's going to kind of pick and choose what tournaments he wants to play in.
But he's still Tiger Woods, and if he plays in a tournament, he's going to be trying to win it, and certainly he's going to think he has a chance if he's there. So the reason he did that, of course, yesterday, he has his Hero World Challenge tournament this week. He did a news conference this morning, and he didn't want to have to answer all those questions in a news conference setting, so now he can say, hey, you know what I said yesterday? This is my nice controlled interview that he was able to put out ahead of a news conference today.
I think it would be, I think at this point, whatever we get of Tiger is enough, right? I mean, just to see him compete, I said it a couple weeks ago. If he gets back on the golf course and is able to make a cut or, you know, even tee off on the very first tee, he's in. He's in the Buick Invitational. Like, You made it. You've done enough. Your legacy is in cement. Can you add to it? Yeah, absolutely. But you are already.
Yeah, I mean, Masters, obviously.
Sure.
Maybe other majors, maybe not all of them, you know, depending on whether he wants to travel to, you know, England for the Open every year. He may just do a couple of the majors.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe hit Torrey Pines, where he's had so much success, and it's close to his, ancestral home of Southern California. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm cheering for that one, but it would be a great thing for the Farmers Insurance Open if they could get Tiger Woods. But it sounds like he's still several months away from even thinking about coming back.
I mean, it's just one of those guys that you he's just not a guy you're going to count out ever. Like, you do it. And somebody said, a couple weeks ago, he's already had the greatest comeback of all time. He's going to set himself up to make the greatest comeback of all time again.
Yeah, he said yesterday that, he was, for a time, he was worried that they might have to amputate the leg.
Bananas, man.
And then, he started getting better. He had someone bring him a club in the hospital. He was there for, weeks and weeks at the hospital. And then in a hospital bed at home for like 3 months while he was continuing to recover. Then he could go out and putt, get up, walk a little bit and putt. Then he started chipping with Charlie, his son, and then eventually he got to short iron shots, is when we saw the video that was posted, the 3-second video.
Like a 9 iron
or something. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, so that's kind of the latest stage for Tiger Woods. But slow and steady progress for Tiger.
It'd be amazing to see him back in the tournament, no matter what, no matter where. It'd be incredible.
By the way, remember the, we talked about it a few weeks ago, the Casey Martin controversy?
Yeah.
If Tiger said, I can play, but I need a cart, I guarantee you the PGA Tour... Say, how many carts you want?
You
want
to wear sweats? You want to wear shorts? Whatever you want.
Exactly. Dude. It's your fun day.
Benny, you are right. Happy birthday, Tiger Woods. Whatever you like. Dude.
You want to ride a horse? Whatever you want.
They would 100% let that dude have like a pull cart, one of those remote carts, in a second. Whatever you wanted. Yeah. Right? Nah.
Why don't they allow that?
I don't know. God forbid you speed it up. God forbid.
Well, when you hit it right down the middle, carts aren't really speeding things up that much. They just keep going.
That's true.
What's that like?
Yeah, what is that like?
I would never play golf again if we had to walk every time.
Dude, no chance.
Never again. I'd have to walk all the way to this side. I'd be all the way back to this side.
Lord of the par 3 course.
Yeah, I'll walk a par 3.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, we spent, in college football, we spent a lot of today talking about Brian Kelly heading to LSU. From Notre Dame. We spent a lot of yesterday talking about Lincoln Riley, but we do have some audio from Lincoln Riley. He did meet with the media just fresh off of touching down in Los Angeles, private jet, had the whole family with him, and he got a little emotional yesterday talking about his time spent in Oklahoma.
I think it would not be fitting for me to recognize the University of Oklahoma, the impact that it had on me, the people there. This was obviously, I told the team earlier, toughest decision of my life to come here. And it's those people there were tremendous to me. And so thank you. I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful for my time here. That's one of the best college football programs in the country and has been forever and will continue to be. So very thankful for my time here.
All right, so one of the best tweets I saw yesterday. USC Football on Instagram tweeted out this quote. This is going to be the mecca of college football. Spoken by new head coach Lincoln Riley. Oklahoma Sooner, Isaiah Thomas, 95, on Instagram wrote, told us that last week.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. How dirty is that, dude?
Well, I mean, let's not mince words.
He's a coach. It's what they do.
When we were at the old radio station, it was the greatest radio station ever. Now we're here, and this, of course, is the greatest radio station ever. Maybe it's because we're here. Maybe it's because Lincoln is now at USC that it's the mecca of college football. When he was at Oklahoma, it was going to be the mecca of college football. Now he's at USC, new mecca for college football.
Unbelievable. Told us that last week. Oh, and I mean, look, Notre Dame players too are, you're getting a string of WTF tweets rolling in from South Bend like, oh, cool. See you later. It's nuts how this stuff plays out.
Pauly, why don't you save our last story here?
Okay.
For I like to tease.
Holly Woods.
Oh, give us a little tease here.
Some beef in Hollywood with one of everybody's favorite comedians.
Saw this.
All right, we will do that coming up next. Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
More rumors, Benny. More rumors indeed.
It's the hot stove league. Everything gets heated up.
Free agent reliever, Luis Garcia.
Oh, the Astros star from the postseason?
No,
not that Luis Garcia.
No, this one is in serious talks on a deal with the San Diego Padres, according to sources familiar with the situation. Garcia, 34, posted a 3.24 ERA in 34 appearances with the St. Louis Cardinals. I cannot, for the life of me, place this man.
Hello? See, he was
I can't place him.
He was a Philly for many years, 2013 to 2018. Had a really good 2017 season, 2.65 ERA in 66 appearances. Then 2018 was bad. 2019, he went to the Angels for a year. It was mediocre. 2020 was terrible, and then had a pretty good 2021 in limited duty with the Cardinals.
So we're due for a bad one, is what you're saying?
Perhaps.
This year.
Or maybe he's back on the rise to his 2017 form.
Yes.
Big guy, right-hander.
Okay.
240, 6'2", 240. So he's a large man on the mound. But, again, just a rumor right now.
But
the Padres do need, bullpen, corner outfield.
Depth, yes.
Starting pitching depth. We know what they're looking for, so this certainly.
Lost Daniel Hudson yesterday to the Dodgers, where he will be.
$7 million for a guy who had a 5-plus ERA for the Padres the last couple of months.
You know he will be. Gangbusters in that bullpen.
Really?
Yes. Yes. You know.
Man, that trade deadline just looking better and better.
you know he's going to be like Blake
Trinan.
Where's
Jake Mariznick going?
I mean, gonna win the Dodgers next year. The Dodgers guaranteed, are betting on a bounce back. They're betting on a bounce back that he's better than he was the last couple of months with the Padres.
Yeah. I mean, you saw my new rallying cry for Padres fans. This is why I like this Luis Garcia move. The new rallying cry is Niebla will fix him. So that's what we're going to get. So I would have liked to see what Niebla could do with Daniel Hudson, right? It's a hard thrower. It's a guy, a flamethrower coming in. Had some decent outings. Really
he wasn't broken until he got to the Padres.
That's fair enough.
Pretty good with the Nationals.
Really, really good with the Nationals until he got here. So, hey, listen, Ruben Niebla, this is what you
Emilio
do.
Pagan, what can Ruben Niebla do with Emilio Pagan?
He would be my first call. If I was Niebla, I'd be
first
like...
First call, huh?
I would be like, well...
Gore.
Paddock's got the he's got the UCL. He's working on that and shooting deer. I saw the other day. Congratulations to him.
PRP injections and deer.
And
things
deer.
That he's shooting.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I did see him. He bagged a big deer the other day. It's not for me. I'll never understand it, but more power to you, I guess. You know, hiding in camouflage from a little deer. It's overpopulated. I get it. I know all the excuses. I grew up in Texas. I get it.
I don't care about hunting.
I know all the excuses.
The pictures always get me.
The pictures get me, too. Like the smile
the pose,
holding this dead animal.
Their antlers and there's blood coming out of their side of their head. And you're just like,
The taxidermy heads on the.
It's wild.
You know,
and the wall.
In your hunting lodge.
Yep.
Which is weird, because if we ran into Chris Paddock, he's like, oh, how you doing? He's like, oh, I just got back from a hunting trip. I wouldn't really think twice about it.
I wouldn't either.
None of the three of us are vegetarians. We've been responsible for the slaughter of many an animal.
Probably more than most, to be honest with you. Yeah, probably more than most.
So can't be too hypocritical. And if you, you know, you eat the meat and, you know, a lot of venison sausage or whatever, then
Sausage, you just cannot stop talking about sausage. You have a one-track mind. Most guys our age, we think about other things. Sausage is all you think
about. So many different delicious kinds of sausage. Lots of different cultures have their own sausages. It's a fascinating subject.
Head down to Petco Pork. Get yours today.
He's really pushing that Petco Pork sausage stand next year.
All right, well,
it's always sausage with him.
As the Rangers are giving out $500 million, the Padres rumors right now involve Jorge Alfaro
and
the other Luis Garcia.
The other one. Remember when we signed Zach Davies? I thought it was Kyle Davies, and I called him Kyle Davies for like a year. That's 438-year-old Kyle Davies. Listen, you know, look, at least we're doing something.
We had him on the show, and you're like, we're joined by Davies. Davies, which one are you?
Davies. I did that with a band once at Coachella. My boss,
hey guy.
My boss goes, hey, that's one of the guys from Gaslight Anthem. And I go, okay. He goes, go get some audio. I go, no. And he goes, do it. I'm like, hey, it's Woodsy. I'm out here with Gaslight Anthem. And literally, it's one guy. It was one dude outside of his bus. Idiot. Just an idiot. I'll never forget. It still makes me sweat talking about.
I've never heard of Gaslight Anthem.
We played them on the show from time to time.
Do we?
They're really
okay.
Good, yeah.
All right, Paul, you had one more Rindle Report Hollywood's story to get for us.
Yeah, a little beef in Hollywood. I didn't know that this ever was a thing, but Will Ferrell and director Adam McKay have split business operations. Like, they have been together for a long time. They started
20 plus years.
Yeah, they started the website like Funny or Die back in like the early 2000s.
They have a production company called Gary Sanchez Productions, I believe is the name of it. Yeah, I don't get it, but.
And so apparently they ended their working relationship back in 2019.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was just the pandemic and maybe not making as many movies or whatever. I had no idea because, you know, if Will Ferrell was in a movie or behind any project, odds are Adam McKay was with him. And so what happened was it all came down to a casting decision for an HBO series that Adam McKay was doing called Don't Look Up, and it was about the Lakers and Jerry Buss, and Will Ferrell wanted to play Jerry Buss, and Adam McKay instead did not let Will Ferrell know, but he went and casted John C. Reilly to play Jerry Buss.
Well, it was going to be Will Ferrell, and then he goes.
McKay made the decision.
McKay goes, Reilly's a better fit. He's a better fit.
Well, John C. Reilly, I mean, looks a little more like Jerry Buss than Will Ferrell, certainly.
John
does.
C. Reilly is one of the goats of acting. He's a million times better
I mean, those two were stepbrothers together, right? Yeah. Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
They're tight.
Yeah.
And those guys are tight.
Why can't Will just be happy for his friend getting the Jerry Buss role?
Reilly is the one that actually called Will and told him, hey, by the way, bro, you know that that he just offered me the. And he's like, that's supposed to be my part. What the hell's going on? And
Adam McKay says, the truth is, the way the show was always going to be done, it's hyper-realistic. Ferrell just doesn't look like Jerry Buss, and he's not that vibe of a Jerry Buss.
Right.
And there were some people involved who were like, we love Will, he's a genius, but we just can't see him doing it.
Right.
And then,
he made the decision.
John C. Reilly gave him a call, let him know. McKay regrets it. He says, I should have called him.
Yeah, you should have. You should have called your buddy to be like, you know, I made a decision. It's not going to go well either way. You don't just do it behind his back.
They haven't talked since that phone call, apparently. Adam McKay's quoted saying, I said, well, I mean, we're splitting up the company. And he basically was like, yeah, we are. And was like, have a good life. And I'm like, F. Ferrell's never going to talk to me
again. He couldn't have found another role for Will Ferrell in the movie. Pat Riley or...
And it was just one of those things.
Magic Johnson.
It was just, there just came a time, you know.
Starring Will Ferrell as Magic Johnson.
25 years that they've been, I mean, making
some of the biggest movies over the last 30 years.
Huge comedies and other movies. But whatever this Lakers movie is going to be, it's going to be awesome. You know why? Because Adam McKay is directing it, and John C. Reilly's in it. So you know it's going to be good.
I'm in.
I like that story, Paulie. I don't like it, but I like the vibe of it.
I did not see that. I was like, oh, it's interesting.
All right, and that's our continuation of the Rondo Report. It's time for our biggest fan of the day. If you hear your name called, you'll have 10 minutes to call in and be registered to win our monthly grand prize staycation. Today's biggest fan is Han Lung from San Diego. All right, Han, you've got 10 minutes to call us at 833-288-0973. If you call in, you'll be registered for our grand prize. Anyone can still register to be the biggest fan at 973thefansd.com/biggest fan. All right, we haven't even gotten to all of the baseball signings yesterday.
No.
We talked about some of the big ones. We haven't gotten to all of them, though. The rumors continuing to fall. We'll get some more baseball talk and open up our phone lines, 833-288-0973, to wrap up Ben and Woods next on 97.3 The Fan. Well, guests, I'm Ben Woods, appear on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall Chevrolet. Find new roads. November NBA basketball, rarely anything to write home about. But there's a pretty big game tonight, I must say. You know what it is, Woodsy? He's asleep. You might want to get that voice-activated remote and go NBA basketball tonight.
NBA basketball.
It's the Phoenix Suns against the Golden State Warriors.
That's actually pretty dirty.
Here's why it's such a big game. The Warriors are 18-2.
Yep.
The Suns have won 16 games in a row after a 1-3 start.
All right,
you've got
me.
The two best teams squaring off, actually twice this week. Tonight, they'll do so in Phoenix. If the Suns win, they would tie their franchise record with a 17th straight win. But the Warriors are as hot as any team.
That's a matchup too good pre-Christmas. That's
really
good of a game for right now, November 30th.
We didn't talk about it. Did you guys see Steph Curry the other night? This was like two nights ago.
When he got the technical foul?
He got teed up, and then he was pissed. He was not happy
about
it.
Steph has a dark side.
Just hit a dagger, like, what, a minute or two later, and turned to the referee that teed him up, and then Steph gave him the tee.
Oh, man. That's like drawing the line in baseball. That's
he was driving to the basket. He just got completely bopped as he went up. I mean, it's so obviously a foul, and he didn't call it. And he just looks at the ref and just goes, are you kidding me? He just like stares. What? And it's a foul.
He got teed up.
He got teed up for that. Yeah.
All right, so the line tonight.
For life in baseball.
This is fascinating, you guys. The line tonight, Warriors getting 2.5 on the road.
In Phoenix.
Yeah.
So essentially pick them at
basically a pick them.
Neutral.
The over-under, 221.5.
112 to 110.
Yeah. I think it's over.
I like the over, too.
Don't say that, because that means I have to take
that's a good point.
If you say over. So.
If you would like a less interesting game to watch, the Lakers will be playing the Kings tonight after losing to Sacramento over the weekend.
That does sound less interesting. This one actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you said it's too interesting of a game for November. I have less interesting games for you, if that's really what you're going for.
May I interest you in a Grizzlies-Raptors matchup this evening?
No.
Ooh, Knicks-Nets is pretty interesting.
Oh, you know.
Battle of New York, you know.
The Metroplex.
The Metroplex of New York. That's
Texas. Dallas.
Yeah, that's Dallas, Fort Worth.
The metropolitan area of New York.
I know we got to hit traffic here. I got an update in Major League Baseball, and I...
Tell me another we got one? Luis Garcia.
Tell me. I don't know if it's good or bad.
Oh, really?
Oh, God.
All right, we'll do that right after a check traffic
teaser.
Here on 97.3 The Fan.
Well done.
You see it now, right?
I see exactly what you're talking about. Breaking news from Bob Nightingale says, oh-oh, not uh-oh. It says, oh-oh, oh-oh. Oh. Like, oh-oh-oh, O'Reilly.
Oh-oh.
The Major League Baseball and union meeting is over after 30 minutes. Not a good sign. I retweeted that with the quote, this is a very good sign. Because it's Bob Nightingale. If the Bob
Nightingale... The Nightingale curse is a very real thing.
It's absolutely real. If he gives you... Hey, this team unquestionably will win this game.
It's better than it like never happened in the first place. At least they met for 30 minutes.
Yeah, at least they met.
I like it.
No one's
if Bob Nightingale says that, deal may be done.
I mean, it's a bad sign if you thought they were going to sit there for 10 hours today and hammer out a deal before a lockout, but no one expects that to happen. So I don't know if it's so much breaking news as it is just what everyone expected to happen today.
I like it. I like it a lot.
All right, so that was our breaking news?
That was our breaking news.
All right, we talked about some of the big signings, the major money flying around, but there were some other moves yesterday. One of the ones we talked about, I think off the air, Robbie Ray going to the Mariners, which, great for the Mariners. I mean, they're picking up a Cy Young Award winner, obviously, and they've been making some moves this offseason. But the fact that the Blue Jays had just signed Kevin Gausman, and then they let Robbie Ray go for essentially kind of the similar money. And I was curious about that one. Why not try to hold on to Robbie Ray a little harder?
Yeah, the guy that just won the Cy Young for
your team.
Yeah. Lefty? Like, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. What were the terms of Robbie Ray's deal?
They were both around 105 to 115 million, yeah, somewhere in there. You know, maybe they just like Gausman. There's something about him
they wanted.
They preferred.
I mean, they hated Robbie Ray.
I mean, I remember Robbie Ray came out of nowhere, honestly. I mean, so did Gausman to a certain extent.
They're like the same guy. They just throw with different arms.
From the different side. I remember Robbie Ray as a very mediocre Arizona Diamondbacks pitcher early in his career. Not someone I was expecting to win a Cy Young Award. So that was kind of interesting. Our friend Kirby Yates, former Padre, getting a two-year deal with the
Kirby.
Atlanta Braves.
Happy for him and his
now
family.
The first year is kind of minimum, and then next year is something like $8 million is how they're structuring it.
$8.5 million.
Yeah, so
and he's coming back from arm trouble.
Yeah,
and but yeah, he's just the best dude, man. And his wife Ashley, they're just incredible humans. So we obviously wish him well. You know, just don't do good against us.
And then you mentioned the new news today, the Javi Baez deal to the Detroit Tigers for $140 million. Now, Javi obviously probably played himself into a lesser deal. Had he signed a couple of years ago with the Cubs and just extended, he could have gotten more. But then he had a, you know, not as great last couple of seasons and probably cost himself a pretty penny. Still, though, no one's you know, laughing at $140 million.
So it looks like they're going to pay him or play him at short. And which means that the Tigers are, I would imagine, officially out of the Carlos Correa sweepstakes. So the teams that I'm hearing are interested in Correa. The Yankees need a shortstop badly. Correa's going to cost a fortune. Would the Dodgers do something like that?
Keep Trey Turner at second?
He hates second, though. He's not a good second baseman.
They really do want to play Gavin Lux as well.
Yeah, and he can't play outfield. He's not an outfielder. The Yankees, the Angels, I've heard, could be in the mix for one Carlos Correa, which would make them, they'd make them officially, I'd be pretty terrified of the Angels if I was in the West. But yeah, I think the market for him just keeps going up and up and up. You're seeing what guys like Javi signed for. But yeah, it says going to play short for the Tigers. So that means no Carlos Correa for the Tigers. I mean, you know, that could obviously change, but 6 years, 140 for Javi Baez. It's a lot of money, man.
And then one move, it's been mostly exodus from the NL West so far this free agency period, but the San Francisco Giants do appear close. I don't think it's official yet, but to signing Alex Cobb to a contract. 34-year-old, had been with the Angels, 8-3 with a 3.76 ERA last year for the Angels.
A bit of a bounce back year for him, kind of bet on himself. So I think that, you know, that would have been a decent pickup here. I'm interested to see what depth pieces A.J. Preller can add to this rotation. Again, I mean, you know, you got Blake Snell coming back. Hopefully he's comfortable now. And then you've got Yu Darvish. Who knows what he's going to bring to the table. Clevinger is your wild card. The guy looks great, but they're not going to throw him out there for 190 innings next year. So
Musgrove only getting better.
Musgrove getting better. You know, and on we go, but you need some depth. You know, Paddock has got the UCL. Hopefully he's recovered. But yeah, on we go. We need more pieces here, and there are pieces out there to be had.
Now, you feel like, oh, man, all these moves, they're, you know, all the huge guys signed before the lockout. But if we are done, and while there's still another, 36-plus hours until a potential lockout, it might not be enough time to get, you know, hammer out the details of big contracts. There will still be, as you mentioned, Carlos Correa, Freddie Freeman, still a free agent. Chris Bryant, still out there. Trevor Story, Nick Castellanos, Marcus Stroman, still
huge
out there.
Names.
Kyle Schwarber, Chris Taylor, Anthony Rizzo, Jorge Soler. There's a lot of guys that will still be available post-pandemic. So if your team, whether it's the Padres or any other team, didn't jump in these last 24 hours and take part in the big feeding frenzy, doesn't mean that they're shut out of this offseason. There's a lot of guys. Plus, trades as well. A lot of people still expecting the Oakland A's to move some big pieces. We still have some big trades that will likely be consummated probably on the back end now of a lockout whenever that does, you know, finish happening. So we can't sit here and say, hey, if the Padres didn't get something done by midnight tomorrow, they lost the offseason. The offseason isn't over.
No,
in fact,
not by a long
stretch. The offseason may still be going strong in mid-March. Even if the lockout ends and spring training begins, it may take another 2 to 3 weeks before all these chips kind of fall and, you know, final details get ironed out. So this offseason could stretch for now months and months and months, and we won't know what direction a lot of teams are heading until they do end up coming back on the other side of this potential lockout.
Yeah, and, you know, I know as a fan of the team and, you know, a team that got close a couple of years ago, a team that you thought was on the rise last year, I know that it's frustrating to sit and watch other teams. You know, you look at it and you go, God, we could use a Robbie Ray, or God, we could use a Kevin Gausman, right? I just don't think that's going to be in the cards this offseason, Ben. I just don't. Will it surprise me if A.J. Preller goes out and signs Carlos Correa tomorrow? No, it won't. Nothing that man does surprises me. But I just, in my gut, I don't feel that that's going to be the case. I feel like they're confident with the roster that they have for the most part, adding some pieces to the bullpen, maybe getting one, maybe two other starting pitchers. You got to get an outfielder at some point. I don't know that it's going to be Nick Castellanos. I sure wish it would be. But I just, I don't know. I'm not getting uber excited, but I'm not getting super disappointed when I'm seeing these guys coming off the board right now.
Yeah, I think it's just too early to say, too. Oh, my team got locked out of all the big signings. As I just went through that list, there's a lot of significant names that will not be signed by midnight tomorrow that will then have to wait and bide their time and figure out where they're going sometime later, whether it's a couple of weeks, whether it's a couple of months from now. You know, that's still yet to be determined.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
John Heyman. The Rockies are interested in Chris Bryant, as they are obviously aiming to compete in 22. If they're obviously aiming to compete in 22, why do they get rid of all their players then? How do you say that?
I mean, if the Rockies think they're aiming to compete, that's on them.
Wouldn't it be the most, you know, Rockies move in the world to go out and sign Chris Bryant right now? Wouldn't it, like,
if you're Chris Bryant, why would you have any interest?
Just numbers.
I know that.
Massive numbers.
Put up Coors Field numbers. I saw the Rockies might be trying to bring back Trevor Story still.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just don't get it. I just don't get it. It just doesn't make it. And nothing they do makes sense to me. But no, we really didn't even talk about Max Scherzer either. I mean, it's done. It's official. He's going to the Mets. An obscene amount of money will be, you know, that's not if DeGrom is healthy, and I've heard that he's not. If DeGrom is healthy, does it get much better than DeGrom, Scherzer,
I mean,
in your 1 and 2?
Well,
it's the Mets. They'll bungle it.
Well,
but
we talked about the potential playoff expansion, which would bring into play 3-game wild card series. If they were both healthy, you know, no team would ever want to face DeGrom and Scherzer in 2 games of a 3-game series. It's like, great. We're not picking the Mets. See, now that's why you have picked
your
own opponent.
That's why you pick your own.
Because the last thing a second seed wants to see is get saddled with the 7th-seeded Mets and a healthy DeGrom and Scherzer in a 3-game series. Going, really? This is our reward for winning 104 games? Right. We'll take the Brewers instead. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll take our chances with Corbin Burns and Brandon Wood.
No, that's not great either.
Right. It's just, I wish we had.
We'll take the Cardinals then.
Mm. I'm telling you.
40-year-old Adam Wainwright. Yeah, we'll face him instead.
I'll take my chances.
Yeah, so, you know, that's why I kind of like that, you know, that proposal of pick your own playoff opponent. Because, yeah, you could get a team that sneaks into the playoffs, gets healthy, has a massive pitching staff, and it's like, no, we want to avoid them. What was our gain by winning our division and finishing with the second most wins in the league? This? A short series against a team that we don't want to face? Thanks a lot.
Wilson Contreras, you guys updated you earlier on the moves that the Cubs made.
Yan Gomes.
So, Wilson Contreras is the current Cubs catcher. He tweeted four emojis of a plane taking off. Like, oh. I'm out of here. See you later. That's something you don't want to see if you're a Cub. I like Wilson Contreras. I think you know, he still has a lot of potential. Yeah. But, so it looks like he wants out of Chicago now because
it's interesting because the Padres are a little overloaded at catcher still with Nola. And, well, that's the thing. But you could see certainly trades happening where AJ Preller pulls off moves where catchers both come and go in different deals. So I wouldn't eliminate any possibilities there.
Does that cost him leverage when he does stuff like that, Wilson Contreras? I'm out of here. Like, I'm mad. You don't want to put your business out there, right?
Well, I mean, plain emojis don't mean you're mad.
He could be like, I'm just going on vacation.
And now I expect, once they signed him, I expect the Cubs to be dealing me. I'm bracing myself for a new adventure here.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm literally all day just refreshing, waiting for any news to break. From the podcast.
Now, if everything that they said was right, things should slow down today because there's not enough time before midnight on Wednesday to finalize deals. So
when does it slow?
I don't know. That's the question. I mean, this morning,
it hasn't slowed yet.
Noon today, when does the slowing start and teams no longer feel like they'll have time to finish off negotiations with players if they do want to sign free agents? That's an unknown question here, because you're usually not facing that kind of deadline. Now, trade deadline, obviously everything goes up to the last second, and you get deals, you know, that are reported right up to whatever, 1 o'clock p.m., whenever that is in July. But here it seems like, you know, you're not going to be getting those 11:59 p.m. deals tomorrow night. Free agency is different than trades.
I'm spinning out right now. Pete Sampson just tweeted in. I know we're all over the place here, but it's fine. I'm just trying to keep everybody in the loop. LSU head coach Brian Kelly reached out to Notre Dame defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman on Monday in an effort to bring him to Baton Rouge. Kelly would intend to make Freeman... Kelly would intend to make Freeman the highest paid defensive coordinator in college football. Just shoot me in the face. How about that?
Where do they get all this money?
Where is this money coming from?
In Louisiana.
I'm gonna have a stroke. You promote him. You promote him to head coach right now if you're Jack Swarbrick.
This is whatever he wants.
Whatever he wants.
I'm
going to die.
I really don't
happens.
Know, but isn't like the Deep South like supposedly the poorest area in terms of
easy.
Where are they getting all this money?
I don't.
For the Kelly and the top paid defensive. I mean,
they did just win a championship like 2 years ago.
They did.
I really don't know.
I think you can probably ride that momentum for a long time.
And then they fired their coach.
I just want to go home.
Well, you can do so.
After seeing that news. God!
Because we are done.
Well, hey, will somebody... I'm going to play golf today, Benny. Will you keep me in the loop on the Luis Garcia watch?
We'll text you anything that breaks. You'll get a buzz on your phone in your pocket during your golf round. Good luck to Brian Dutcher and the Aztecs tonight.
Yeah, let's go.
Trying to bounce back from that loss to USC. They will host Long Beach State at Viejas Arena. 7 o'clock tip-off tonight. So we'll have an Aztecs game to react to tomorrow and probably... whole new mess of free agent signings, maybe a trade or two, and then an impending lockout for a Wednesday morning. Executive producer of Ben Woods, Paul Reindl. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.